Welcome, everyone, to Force of Nature Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew D. Hamilton, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Bodcher.
Terrific. This episode, we are doing a solo episode, which is where we learn all about one specific animal. And the animal we are learning about is the capybara. And Dave, let's play that song right now, huh?
Okay.
Capybara, 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 capybara.
Well, I hope I don't hope everyone's going to have that stuck in their head, but they are probably going to have that stuck in their head now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope everybody enjoys that song, because it's going to be one of our new clips that we're going to sprinkle into the show. Kind of like the Timey Kangaroo Downsport song.
Yeah.
So capybara, they have had a huge increase in popularity over the last few years. And it's mostly due to internet and meme culture. And Dave, I just had you watch some of the memes, the videos, and to show you that. And what'd you think of them?
Yeah, I mean, you could do anything with a capybara you can with a toddler. You could dress it up, feed it popsicles.
It's pretty...
Put it in a pool with apples or whatever they were.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, huh? But it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's funny because all the Gen Z kids, they all know what a capybara is. And a lot of older people don't know what a capybara is. But all the Gen Z kids they all know that the capybara is like a super chill animal and like super friendly too. So it's kind of interesting how all the kids know about it, but a lot of the older people don't. But it's pretty interesting, and it's very true. Capybara are super chill, and they are super friendly. They enjoy hanging out with other animals, other animal species. They chill with them. It's pretty cool, and it's not what you would think they'd be like, but that's what they are. And capybaras are the world's largest rodents. And we're going to have a lot of fun learning about these giant guinea pigs. And as the Gen Z kids say, the capybara has got some riz. have you ever heard that term before?
From Cade. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to learn it from Cade.
Yeah. They got some riz. That means I had to look it up, but it means they got charisma. It means they got charisma. It's actually not a bad term. I kind of like that term.
It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that makes me feel old.
It does. It does.
I got to relearn English. Yeah.
But we hope everyone enjoyed our last episode, part two of Recent Animal Stories and Attacks. Those are always some of our favorite episodes. And we covered some wild stories involving a Siberian tiger attack, a blue-ringed octopus, a couple rabies stories, and then a guy escapes a crocodile by biting on its eyelid. Yeah, that was weird. And the largest gator ever caught in Florida as well. And then a stingray that stabs a woman in the back and hangs on for a while. So go back and check out that episode if you haven't yet. And Dave, as always, we are joined by everyone's favorite cheetah and rainbow trout duo, Cheetor and Dante. And well, Dave, somehow we created a storyline with them where Cheetor and Dante were on the run from Interpol. But I don't really want to do that anymore. So we're going to pretend like everything's fine now.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear from Cheetor right now.
Good day, gentlemen. I do want to wish you both a happy WrestleMania weekend. I really hope that Cody Rhodes finishes the story and finally beats Roman Reigns. But Matt, what do you think will happen?
Oh, well, I kind of think what's going to happen is...
It doesn't matter what you think. Why don't you take that microphone, shine it up real nice, and stick it straight up your candy ass if you smell what Cheetor is cooking.
Yeah, I feel like I should have seen that coming. Cheetor bringing out his inner his inner rock right there. I do agree with Cheetor that I do want Cody to finish the story. Well, Dante, do you have any WrestleMania thoughts?
Well, I kind of want Cody Rhodes to win. Well, no, I want Roman Reigns to win. I don't know. I just think they should all get a participation trophy. Don't you think so?
Yeah, well, participation trophies, I don't...
It doesn't matter what you think. God, Cheetor.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess I walked into that too, Matt.
Yeah, yeah, we both got rocked by Cheetor and Dante. sorry for all the wrestling talk, but it's just that I'm in that mood right now, and we're going to watch Night 2 tonight, so I'm in that mood. Sorry. To all of our wonderful listeners, we want to thank you all from around the world for joining us. I think we have a nice cult-like following full of wonderful people, so thank you so much. And be sure to go to Apple, give us 5 stars, say something you like about the show, or go on Spotify or any other platforms, give us 5 stars, tell your friends, so we can grow even more. And I look at our stats, and while we haven't blown up or anything, every year it gets significantly better, and that's all you can really ask for. We have a legit sponsor to plug in the middle of the show too, so just so it doesn't take anyone by surprise, we are going to be doing a legit sponsor plug.
Nice.
But Dave, let's get into talking about these giant aquatic stress balls.
Let's do it.
So capybara, or their Latin name Hydrocharius, I don't know how to say it. They are part of the order of rodents, and if you remember, to be a rodent, it means that they have a single pair of continuously growing incisors on the upper and lower jaws. So all rodents have large incisors that never stop growing, meaning that they need to continuously gnaw on things to keep them from getting too large. And I have seen photos of when teeth get too large, they start going off to the side, even to where they can puncture the head of the rodent. So they really have to, I've seen it on a rat before, so they really have to keep gnawing on things. And that goes for all rodents, all the way from rats to beavers to capybara.
Huh.
So it's pretty interesting. And then they are, capybara are fairly closely related, actually related to guinea pigs. Like, no joke.
Okay.
And if you think about it, they're kind of like a giant-sized version of a guinea pig.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So capybara, they live in South America, and they are found in every country in South America except Chile, probably due to the Andes Mountains there. But they are also semi-aquatic animals that really love swimming and being around the water, which is unlike guinea pigs, who would not do good in water. They will drown.
Oh, well, they, okay. Yeah, that is unusual then.
Yeah, and you kind of have to like the water if you're going to live in the Amazon, I feel like.
Yeah.
And they live in all kinds of environments that have water. You know, they're in the deep jungles, the marshes, sometimes even in neighborhoods, which we'll talk about it later. They are the largest rodents on the planet. And Dave, they're actually a lot bigger than I previously thought. So what do you think one would weigh?
I don't know, 40 pounds maybe?
See, that's what I had previously thought. No, adult capybaras, so they can get to about 4 feet in length and about 2 feet tall. And like, surprisingly to me, the females are slightly heavier than the males.
Okay.
Now, size differs from what kind of habitats they're in, obviously, but adult capybaras can average anywhere from 75 to 175 pounds.
Wow.
That's crazy. Way bigger than I anticipated them to be.
Yeah, me too.
So,
sounds like they could take me on.
They're more like pets. They would prefer pets from you than to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
But they are really big animals. That's an adult human sized 175 pounds. That's bigger than you are.
Yep.
And so they are brown in color with a real barrel shaped body. I mean, they look, like I said, they look like a giant guinea pig. And on their feet, they have 3 toes on their rear feet and 4 toes on their front feet. Oh. I don't know the exact reasoning for that, but that's what they have. And all of their feet are webbed, so that's going to help them swim. Okay. And they're excellent swimmers, and they can even hold their breath for around 5 minutes.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. And so capybaras sometimes live solitary, just on their own, but it is way more likely and more typical for them to live in groups, as they are highly social animals. And then they can be, they are commonly found in groups of about 10 to 20. And in these groups with normally about two males and then four to seven females. And then the rest are juveniles. You know, that's a give or take.
Okay.
And during the dry seasons, when animals group together around available water sources, groups can get as large as over 100 capybara.
Oh, wow.
And being in groups helps them look out for predators, as there is safety in numbers.
Yeah.
And capybara, like I said, they live in all kinds of environments, and they're a very adaptable animal that can even live in more urbanized human areas. And like I was saying, they are highly social and create bonds with each other. They show great affection by grooming each other and playing. They're very playful, and they enjoy chasing each other, swimming, basking in the sun, chilling with other animal species. That's all the things you think of capybara doing.
Nice.
In a group, there is normally one dominant male, with the other males being subordinate. And the role of the dominant male is keeping the group safe, being alert of predators and defending the group if necessary. And the role of females is caring for the young, and they actually do so as a group. Well, Dave, with that being said, let's go over what is always your favorite part when we cover individual animals, and that is, of course, their mating habits and their penises. That is your favorite part, right, Dave?
Okay. Yes, it is. I'm under contract to say yes.
So their mating is pretty interesting. During mating season, normally the rainy season, a male will pursue a female he's interested in. And if she's into him, they will hang out, play with each other, chase each other, sniff each other, groom each other, help build a bond. And then the male hopes that he doesn't get friend zoned by her.
Yeah,
but it just, you know, building a bond, and then hopefully they can mate with each other. But females actually have their choice in which males she will mate with. In groups, the males are protective of the females, but the larger the group, the more difficult it is for that dominant male to keep watch of all of them. So yeah, sometimes the females will sneak off with the subordinate males and mate with them. While the main male isn't watching, so they do that too. Yeah.
Well, he's
a little promiscuous.
He's too busy chilling.
Yeah. And then when they mate, they actually mate in the water. I don't know the exact reasons for this, but I think it partially has to do with a female doesn't want to mate with a certain male, she can easily avoid and dive underwater.
Okay.
If she's not into it, I guess that sounds like the reasoning.
Oh.
Then once a female is pregnant, the gestation is about 5 months, and she will have a litter of about four young on average. The newborn babies immediately join the group as soon as they are mobile. Capybaras are cool in that they do something called alloparenting. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it's when an individual provides parental care towards young that are not their own.
Oh, okay.
So the females all kind of help with child rearing and with parental care. It's kind of like a big daycare system that all the females do.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty cool. And yeah. It shows how highly social and they are with each other.
Yeah.
And how chill they are with each other.
True, yeah.
Sometimes, especially in captivity, capybaras will be used as foster parents for like dogs or even cats or any animal, really.
Oh.
So I'll get to a little bit more on that later. But yeah, they are excellent parents, capybaras.
Wow. So they don't just take care of other capybaras. They'll take care of any animal.
Yeah, yeah. They'll take care of really anything.
Wow. That's great.
I mean, probably not a jaguar, but... Well, Dave, and I'm sorry to break this to you. Unfortunately, I do not have any information on a capybara's penis. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I did Google it, though, but like I said, my Google search history is weird. But some good news, Dave. Dave, if you want to be as chill and focused as a capybara, I got just the thing for you. It's called Magic Mind. You know, sometimes I struggle getting focused in order to write episodes. Well, I tried Magic Mind energy shots, and it's helped me cut out on distractions, and I'm able to properly focus on researching and writing. It's an energy shot with all natural ingredients. It's way better than, say, like a 16-ounce energy drink, and way better for you. There's no sugar, it's nut-free, vegan, keto, and paleo-friendly. Even when I was doing my carnivore diet, this was perfectly fine. And it really helped me in a long shift at work, as well as getting in the creative mood, which is sometimes difficult, as you know, to get into a creative mood and to write the show. Well, Magic Mind definitely helps out with that. And if our listeners want to be as chill and focused as a capybara, we can help them. Just go to magicmind.com/forceofnature and use the code forceofnature20 to get 20% off of a one-time purchase or get 56% off your first subscription. Dave, I'm pretty sure that somebody like Jim Corbett would have loved to have one of these energy shots after sitting in a tree waiting for a tiger for hours.
Yeah.
So go check out and have a shot of Magic Mind. The code and details will also be in the description below. Well, Dave, that was our first legit sponsor ad.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I know we said we won't do sponsors unless it's something good for us and an actual decent product, so I don't mind selling out a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Yeah. well, let's continue with learning about our hippo rats, the capybara.
That's a good one.
And how capybara are herbivores and feed on mainly grasses and aquatic plants, even some fruit. They seem to be, from what I gather, they seem to be kind of picky. A lot of the stuff they eat isn't very nutritious. It kind of reminded me, you know how like a panda basically just eats bamboo all day?
Yeah.
Even though it's not nutritious, it seemed like capybaras do something similar, not as dramatic, but something similar to that.
It makes sense. I mean, teenagers just eat Doritos all day and chill. So
that's true. <you know. laughs> So, Dave, capybaras are also autotrophophagous. I think. Huh. Did I say that right? I'm not 100% certain.
Autotrophophagous?
Yes. Okay. Sounds about right. Well, Dave, do you have any idea what that means?
Not really.
Well, that means that they like to digest their food twice. So,
interesting.
How
do they do that?
Autotrophagous. I think, okay, did I say it right? I think I did. Anyway, that means that they eat their own poop.
Okay. Why do they just say that? It's just as long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a thing that there is a term for it. So, but yeah, eating their own poop helps them digest the maximum amount of protein and vitamins from their food.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that would be like a good insult on the playground or something. Call a bully. You'd be like, hey, you're a autotrophophagous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you should,
and he wouldn't feel insulted because he's like, oh, thank
he's
you.
He's like, what the hell is
that? What does that mean?
What the hell is that? And he's not going to know. They're not going to know how to spell it. So they're not going to be able to look it up.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So capybies, yeah, they spend a lot of time grazing. And like they have to with their to continuously gnaw on things to keep their teeth from not getting too long. So yeah. They do a lot of grazing. That's one of their main activities. And they actually don't have a very long lifespan. So in the wild, 4 years is a pretty long life.
Wow.
I kind of thought it would be longer.
Yeah, me too, especially since they can get so big.
Yeah. So in captivity, they can, you know, live longer. They can live up to maybe 10 years. But if you think about it, they're still rodents. So with most rodents, a big part of their survival is breeding rapidly.
Okay. Yeah.
And they do that as well. capybaras are super chill and seem to get along with all other animals, you wouldn't think that because they still have predators that want to make them a tasty meal. Of course, they have their main predator is going to be my favorite animal, the jaguar. And I've seen a bunch of videos of jaguars taking out cappies, and they'll go for the back of the head for the quick kill with their, you know, they have this, that really strong, powerful bite. And so they, jaguars are probably their main predator they have to deal with. Then they also have cougars that will go after them. Cougars or mountain lions, puma, they have a bunch of names, whatever you want to call them. And the cougars live throughout both Americas and in the Amazon. They're typically smaller in like the Amazon areas because they have to contend with the jaguar, but still very much able to take down an adult capybara. And then, then you have other predators like eagles that can take out young cappies. Like you have the harpy eagle, which is one of the largest eagles in the world. I could definitely see them getting a younger cappy. Actually, they mostly prey on like monkeys and sloths.
Oh, wow.
But, I'm sure if they wanted to, they could go after a cappy, a young cappy. And then, of course, you have anacondas that could get to them as well. You have in the Amazon and South America, you have crocodiles and caiman. There are a bunch of different crocodiles species there and caiman species, the largest being the black caiman.
Okay.
Which is which can sometimes be the same size as our American alligators. So they could definitely take out cappies. And yeah. Dave, I do plan on doing an episode on black caiman.
Okay.
I feel like they're very interesting and it would be a good episode. But I just named off a lot of predators, which doesn't make sense because it makes you think that they would have no reason to be so chill all the time.
Yeah.
You kind of think they'd be on edge with so many predators, but it's the opposite.
I know. Yeah. And you wonder why they would like the water when there's so many predators in the water for them.
Yeah, that's just how they've adapted. And I kid you not, I've literally seen a video of a capybara on the back of a caiman and like hitching a ride on the water. Like a capybara is on the back of a caiman. The caiman is just like, yeah, that's cool. And just on the back of a caiman on the river. And it's just giving the cappy a ride. And then there's photos and videos of cappies just hanging out by caiman. And these are smaller caiman, of course. And that are not going to be able to take out a 170-pound cappy. But like the cappies are just so chill, just hanging out there. And the caiman just are like, yeah, I guess he's just here. So that's cool. It's nice. It's just their relationship with other animals is super interesting.
That's funny.
And there's plenty of videos and photos of them like hanging out with turtles and just like, nice. And then like birds love capybaras. Birds will just hang out on top of them and like pick at their skin. You know, they'll do that, but they're also just like chilling with them. And the cappies are like, that's cool.
Nice.
Nice. The cappies really do live up to the reputation of being super chill.
That's funny.
All right. So then when it comes to a cappy's relationship with humans, it's very interesting. And I got a bunch of things to talk about. But Dave, let's go to our conservation scale. If you remember, it's a 1.7 scale, 1 being the worst, being extinct, 7 being the best, meaning of least concern. Capybaras are at a 7. So that's good. We always like to hear that.
Yeah.
And there are some capybara farms even in South America where they use their meats and skins. People do eat capybara as well.
And I wonder what it tastes like.
I have no idea. It'd be interesting. It's a rodent, but like they got a lot of meat. So
they get that big. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people do eat it. It seems like it's more of a rural thing to eat them. Like it's not really like on the menus at restaurants and stuff like that. But like rural people will eat it from what I gathered. I have no idea what they would taste like, though.
OK.
But capybara are also they're a big hit in a lot of zoos.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to care for, and they're pretty docile, and they'll even allow people to hand feed them and pet them. Nice. Like some zoos allow guests to hand feed them. Like they really are just giant guinea pigs.
Wow.
And what's funny about capybaras is they, like I had said earlier, they just recently, in the last couple of years, blew up in popularity. And this is because of memes and the internet. Like I said, if you ask most Gen Z kids, they will know what a capybara is, while older generations might not know what they are because they're not a super common animal, you know, like that you think of. I remember your teenage daughters, I asked them, do you guys know what a capybara is? And like, they're like, your daughter said, yeah, they're super chill. That was the first things they said. So, while adults at my job, I was telling them I'm doing capybara and they're like, I don't know what that is. But all the Gen Z kids know what it is. So it's a very interesting thing. And one of the, I had you watch some videos, Dave, before this, so you could kind of figure it out. But a common meme that incorporates capybara, it's called, okay, I pull up.
Like, okay, I pull up.
Okay, I pull up. And it's
like a chill message.
Yeah, I think so. So it's from the.
Hey, let's go do this. Okay, I pull up.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But it's lyrics to the song by Don Toliver called After Party. And I still don't really understand why it's a thing, but it is a thing. Researching this made me feel old, as we said. But there are tons of short vids online playing this song with footage of capybara. I don't know how it started or why it's a thing, but it is. It's this meme culture, but I don't fully understand it, but I kind of appreciate it in this case.
Yeah.
And then of course there's this song.
Capybara, 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 capybara.
Oh, I told you that you're gonna have that song stuck in your head.
Yeah, if it wasn't playing in your head already, it is again.
It's gonna again, yeah. And I don't know how that's like a famous meme thing now too. And I don't know how that started or why it's a thing, but it's a thing. I kind of dig it. It's silly, yeah. But I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So Cappies also became somewhat famous for this as well, for invading a residential area in Argentina. So it's just north of Buenos Aires. It's an affluent, gated, rich person community, like a real nice, rich community. Here, the capybaras have kind of taken over, and I've watched a bunch of videos on this as well. And there's just a bunch of cappies that live in a nice suburb area. This suburb area was built on wetlands. It's a big wetland area. So, you know, that's their native area. But Cappies are so chill. They're like, yeah, people can build houses. We're still cool with that. And then they're just hanging out there.
Nice.
And that's funny. It seems that the people that live there have mixed feelings about them, as they are pretty harmless to humans. I mean, they're harmless to humans for the most part. There have been reports of dogs getting into scuffles with Cappies.
Oh, okay.
But that was most likely started by the dogs, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would think that they're more like free lawnmowers for the whole area.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But then again, they're also going to get into gardens and eat vegetables and stuff that people are having on their properties. So you can see why there's mixed feelings about them. But it is, you got to watch some videos on it. It's pretty interesting. Like, there's literally just Cappies walking around. I mean, they're just in the suburb areas by the water, and people are riding their bikes, and there's capybaras like in the middle of the sidewalk. So you gotta like just go around them on your bike. It's pretty it's pretty funny. And so that's kind of another reason they became popular, is because, you know, they're taking over this rich person area, so people can. It's just kind of a thing, and people seem to like it, other than the people that live there.
Yeah.
And watching a group of Cappies cross the road is somehow oddly satisfying. They're just like, yeah, we're just crossing the road, blocking traffic again. And It's just pretty funny. Nice. Yeah, they're all over the neighborhood. I encourage people to go and see some of these videos for yourself. And then, nice. Dave, there is a country in the world that is super into capybaras. And it's a country that you would never associate with a South American rodent. Do you have any ideas?
Huh. No.
Well, Japan absolutely loves capybaras.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I guess I can see why.
Yeah, I can see why, too. But it sounds odd, but there is a reason for this, actually. So in 1982, at the Izu Shibuten Zoo, located in Edo, Japan, which is not too far away from Tokyo. Well, at this zoo, something just happened by accident where caretakers were cleaning up the capybara space with hot water, and the capybaras just started gathering around in like a puddle, and they all just started sitting in the puddle of hot water. And then the zookeeper was like, huh. So he decided to, in their enclosure, to put hot water in and like a bath. And so from that moment on, the zoo became has become famous for the capybara in hot tubs.
Nice.
And I believe that you saw some photos or videos of this, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting, and it's kind of cool, actually. And people in Japan absolutely love it. Like, that became a huge attraction, and it still is to this day. Japanese people love these capybaras chilling in the hot tubs, and they all have their own names and they all have their own personalities. And Japanese people say they find it like healing to watch the capies.
All right.
Like, they'll go and watch the capies to put them in a good mood, because they're
nice.
Like, people will, I've heard that people will watch them for hours at the zoo, and like, it like gives them good feelings and makes them, you know, helps them heal, I guess.
Wow.
So there's some healing nature to capies. So that's pretty cool. And then also, Dave, in Japan, they have what are capybara cafes.
Oh, like the cat cafes?
Yeah. So it's kind of it's a gimmicky cafe. You know, they put a gimmick on it where you can buy some, you know, like at a coffee shop, buy some coffee. And while you're there, you can hang out with capybara inside the cafe. Nice. And these capybaras are so chill that you can pet them and hang out with them inside the cafe. They're going to treat you better if you buy some food and you feed them. But and you can just hand feed them inside the cafe, like just buy some like carrots and from the cafe. So it's a gimmick. I get it. It's kind of a fun gimmick. And yeah. I've heard of these places before, but normally like with dogs and cats. You know, people will go to relieve some stress and hang out with some nice cats and dogs. Well, capybara are giant aquatic stress balls, so apparently they work well as a cafe idea.
Nice. I wonder if that'll take on here in the U.S.
I wouldn't doubt that there's one. I don't know. I couldn't find one, but that would be cool. I couldn't. Yeah. God, there's got to be cappies nearby, especially you in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, if there's not, I'm sure there will be one.
Yeah, there's got to be some cappies. I want to go pet a cappy. Yeah. I want to hang out with a capybara.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
I watched a bunch of videos on these cafes, and I really want to go to one now. I feel like hanging out with a capybara would be a lot of fun. It's on my bucket list now for sure.
There you go. Nice.
And with the zoos and cafes, it proves that capybaras are good for the economy.
Yep.
Everybody wants to hang out with cappies and chill with them.
Yeah.
Well, and so learning all about this, Dave, and how cool capybara are and chill, you might ask yourself if a capybara would make a good pet. Well,
I would say yeah.
Yeah, the answer,
after hearing all this.
Yeah, the answer is probably yeah. They probably would. They form strong bonds with their owners, and they're affectionate, very dog-like in some ways. However, they would be more difficult to take care of than a dog. It would not be easy to care for them, as you'd have to be a good owner. They poop a lot, and they have to have an area to swim.
Okay.
And now you also, they're very social animals, so you need some companions for them as well. However, you don't even need other capybara as companions, as they will befriend basically any other animal.
Nice.
There's a famous capybara named Cheesecake, who was rescued. Oh, yeah. It was rescued and sent to a refuge. Cheesecake grew up living with the dogs on the refuge, and Cheesecake literally just became one of the dogs, eating, sleeping, and playing with them all the time.
Oh, nice.
And then when Cheesecake grew up, she became a foster mom for abandoned puppies. She would literally raise them like they were her own. Obviously, she couldn't give them milk, but she would do all the other tasks raise these puppies.
Oh, that's neat.
That's super neat. Cappies are good parents. And then the refuge, they did eventually get another Cappy named Cobbler. So Cheesecake and Cobbler are best friends.
Nice.
But I think that's really cool that they will raise puppies.
Yeah.
And it just really puts over how their interspecies relationship is with other animals. It's very rare in the wild to have that.
Yeah.
That's
crazy that they will.
I mean, that wasn't the wild, that was in a refuge, but it's pretty cool that they can just adapt to do that. I mean, this was a wild one at one point and just got rescued. So, yeah, that's just in their natural instincts.
Nice.
And there are states you can adopt a capybara. Actually, most states, it is legal to own a capybara. There's a map. I don't remember which ones you couldn't. I'm pretty sure Florida is the one where you could, obviously. You can do whatever you want in Florida. Yeah. There's no rules in Florida.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
So I don't recommend having one as a pet unless you can give it everything it requires. If somebody does have a pet capybara, let me know because I want to meet it and hang out with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, capybara have blown up in recent years and they're big on memes and videos. So it's pretty interesting. And I imagine that there's going to be a lot more on them in the future. The only other thing is that I could find in pop culture wise is they are portrayed in the movie Rio 2. Which if you Rio is about a bird in the Amazon, yeah. And the second one they're in the Amazon. So it had a tryout and with all the animals of the Amazon, and I have this cute little capybara that got ate by a black jaguar. Yeah. So, but it was singing really cute. And then it sings in the jaguar's belly. I don't know. It's silly kids movie stuff, but it was pretty funny. And so that's the only movie I could find capybaras in. Other than that, in Uruguay, they are featured on the 2 peso coin.
Oh, wow.
And I collect coins from around the world. I've got a good amount. I've got coins from Kyrgyzstan, and I try to collect coins as much as I can. I really want to get my hands on a Uruguayan 2 peso coin with a capybara on it.
Yeah.
That would be
pretty
cool. They
must love them much more. Yeah, I guess in Uruguay, they must love capybara more than their own presidents if they put them on their currency.
Well, if you think about it, Canada has a lot of animals on their coins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Canada's got a beaver. I know for sure they got beaver. Yeah, they have a lot of animals on their coins, too. But yes, that's kind of cool. I feel like every coin around the world should just be animals.
There you go. Yeah.
But Dave, that is going to wrap up the episode. I hope you and everyone learned a lot of cool things about these giant aquatic stress balls. I really enjoyed researching them, and I think capybaras are going to be a standout animal, and they're one of my new favorite animals.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're super cool. I really enjoyed researching them. So Dave, for our next episode, I haven't decided. So it literally could be anything. I've got a list it's over 50, maybe 100 deep on. So sometimes I just got to look at it and then boom, that's one that hits me. But capybara wasn't even on the list. and then I decided to do it on that. So you never know.
Nice.
Or we will never run out of content.
Oh, there's always something.
Yes. Yeah. But Dave, if our listeners enjoyed the show, what is something they can do for us?
Go to iTunes, Apple Podcast, wherever you listen to, subscribe, rate, review, give us 5 stars, say something you like about the show. It really helps us gain more attention, gain more listeners. If you really want to help us out, you could kind of help be a little financial parental figure for us, like a capybara would, and, you know, just help us chill out a little more financially by donating via PayPal or Venmo.
Good job, Dave. Dave always does that off the cuff, and that's one of my favorite things to look forward to when recording. So good job, Dave. And remember to get your Force of Nature t-shirts and stickers. We've got a big batch of stickers, and to order a t-shirt or a sticker, the best way to do it is to DM us on our Facebook or Instagram pages or email. The shirts are really nice, by the way, and so are the stickers. Oh, you know what? I'll continue doing free stickers. So if anybody wants free stickers, all you got to do is DM us and I will send some to you. But if you order a shirt, that would be even better. So get a shirt and some free stickers. Dave, we have some shout outs to give.
Oh, sweet.
So, Dave, we're going to shout out Chai 81 Chi.
Chai 81 Chi.
Who became a Jim Corbett fan because of us. So that's great.
Sweet.
Also, we're going to give a shout out to Jim Corbett.
Jim Corbett.
Someone on Apple has used that name. And sure enough, they say they love Jim Corbett.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't?
And then a shout out to the real Arthur Morgan.
The real Arthur Morgan.
So this person is obviously a Red Dead Redemption fan, so we obviously like them.
It must be Kaylee.
I think it might be your daughter who did that, yes.
Yeah.
And then shout out to Lauren 1531.
Lauren 1531.
They say that they like the show, and then we want to give a shout out to Hayes West.
Hayes West.
Yep, they enjoy the show as well. And then we give a shout out to Wee Job Catbit.
Wee Job Catbit.
They are also from Utah and said that enjoy all the research I do, and then they enjoy your laugh.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's great.
All right. Well, thank you to all these wonderful people for giving us a review on Apple. I think it's still the only main platform where you can leave a review. On Spotify, you can leave star ratings, but not a review. But those 5 stars mean a lot. So go ahead and do that for us. Dave, well, let's check in, see what Cheetor and Dante have to say.
Wow, these capybaras certainly sound like they would make a good pet for us. I want one. Matt, let's get a capybara.
Cheetor, we are not getting a capybara. I already have a cheetah and a rainbow trout to look after. The last thing I need is another animal like a capybara. I don't know, Dave. A capybara would be cool.
I might take care of Cheetor and Dante for you.
Oh, you're not wrong there. I'll vaguely look into getting a capybara.
There you go.
That'd be hard to have a third animal voice to do in storyline. But maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Let's check in. Dante, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I've hung out with capybara before. They're so chill, man. I think we should get one too.
Well, he brings up a good point. Maybe they would. Maybe a capybara would actually help me take care of Cheetor and Dante.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to look into that. Dave, do you have anything to... You've done some more Audible books, so do you have anything to plug?
Oh, no. I haven't done any since the last one we talked about, the Red Riding.
Well...
Not Red Riding. Sorry. The Rose and the Raven.
Well, plug it.
That was my last audiobook for that. Okay, Rose and the Raven. It's out on Audible. Nice little fantasy story, different take on Beauty and the Beast. I recommend it. Try it out. Give it a shot. We still have another one we can give away. Remember the free copy we could do?
Yeah. So, first person to DM us, it's got to be in the United States, though, right?
Yeah. So, well, if it's out of the UK, actually, if it's out of the UK, they just have to say if they're in the UK or in the US.
Okay, so UK or US listeners, first person to DM us will get a free copy of it. And actually, if you go on Audible and you just put in the search David Botcher, you'll find all of Dave's stuff. I've actually downloaded all of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I had like 10 unused things, and I was like, I don't use Audible that much, so I just downloaded 10 books and then canceled my subscriptions. But I got a bunch of yours on there, so I gotta listen to it. Dave's really good at voice acting. I promise you're gonna enjoy it if you get his books. Dave, yeah. Is there anything else you want to add? I don't think I have anything else.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, this is Force of Nature Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Tell your friends, be a part of building us up, and we will see you next time.
Bye.